Porch. You're on Firefall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grund. Every Wednesday night, 7 p.m., you hear that original music created for Solomon's Porch by somebody I knew a very long time ago. And we come here, and this is what we do. We don't believe the church age is over. And therefore, whatever took place in the upper room and whatever took place with the Book of Acts church is still as real and vibrant and vital today as it was then. And that's the life we want to live. And that's why we've been looking at the Pentecost protocol now for 18 weeks. Tonight, talking still the fruit of the Spirit. I put down love, joy, and peace. I'm not sure we're going to get out of the topic of love. It's so thick with information in the Word. But before we do that, welcome. Thank you. Thank you to those of you that support this and what we do and keep it on the air and support the studio. And there'll be another 5-minute reflection at the end of the week. And it's exciting to be able to shine the light during a time of such prevailing darkness. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying it's exciting. So thank you for helping. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your encouragement. Announcement. Every year since 2010, on a Sunday night show that's partnered with this called Reflections in the Dark, where we take a look at what's going on in the supernatural and the paranormal world and prophecy and things like that. Every October, we've done a month-long thing called Occultoberfest based upon the concept of Oktoberfest and Halloween and all that. This year, we're going to do something different. Rather than doing it every week all month long, we're going to do one super show the final Sunday of the month to coincide with Halloween, and we're just going to do it all then. So we're doing things different. We're starting to shake things up. We're starting to reformat, so just bear with us as we do that. But I just want to announce it. And if you don't listen on Sunday night, it's recorded. You can download it. We cover things that apply to what we talk about here on Wednesday night. So you might want to consider doing it. All right, starting out, praise report, prayer request. I will get it started. First of all, I praise the Lord for you. I praise him for his love for you, and I praise you for your love for him. And I praise him for my salvation. Today is the 7th of October. In 2 days will be the 27th anniversary. 26th anniversary. Not doing very good with math. October 9th, 1988, 2015. 27th anniversary of getting saved. I guess it's my spiritual birthday. I remember it. A lot of people don't. But if you know my testimony, and if you don't, I'm going to redo it and record it and put it up. If you knew where I came from, you'd remember that day too. If you knew what I had given up and the Lord gave back to me, if you knew as I did that if I would have died at that moment, I would have gone to the outer darkness and I would have avoided judgment with everyone else that did not know Messiah. But I don't have to worry about that anymore. So that's why I celebrate it. That's why I acknowledge it. That's why I get so excited about it. So that's my praise report. I'm thankful for my home, my wife, my sons, good young men in the Lord. I thank him for my pets. I love my dogs. I am blessed. My heart's beating. My eyes are open. Though there are parts of me that could be better, it doesn't matter. When he fixes it all in the twinkling of an eye, I'll have the perfect body, and there'll be no more suffering, no more sickness, no more pain. In prayer requests, just pray for us. Pray for me, my family. Pray for this ministry. Pray for everything that he wants to do. Brian in Tennessee. His daughter-in-law just found out her grandfather died this morning. He'd been battling cancer for several years and was sick, and he has passed on. So he's asking prayer for Hillary, that's her name, for her family and for her. Prayer for family members to be saved and reconciled with the Lord. Continue to pray for a healing miracle for his wife, Cindy. Somebody out there, make it a commitment. Write it down. Pray for Cindy's healing, as I do every day. His son Josh is changing careers, needs a new career path, needs direction from the Lord. So we're asking for that. And they still have that house they flipped that needs to sell. And his praise report is that the Lord loves us and he's coming soon to take us home. Lori in Fort Mitchell, praise report, thank you for your ministry. There was a situation involving potential lawsuit that's been resolved, so praise the Lord for that. She's asking for prayer. Her husband coaches a youth football team, and she helps out. And they're suddenly having a huge number of injuries. And I don't know if you saw it, but last week, four high school players, football players, died. And this game has reached a level, and these kids are not taught how to play the game properly, how to tackle, how to hit. And they're breaking bones. It's amazing. I could go on about this one. So just pray. Pray for the children. Pray for the coaches. And pray for Lori and her family. Stacy in Fort Mitchell. Praise report was this week they were finally able to give. So you be blessed for that, Stacy. They had a little extra, starting to get ahead a little. Don't we all know how that feels? And finally able to make their house a home. Being in the military, if you know anything about that, they move a lot. And they used to move every 1.5 years, very specifically 1.5 years. And in the Army, but they've been there for 5 years, and now they're starting to settle in. Isn't that amazing that when you're so used to moving around that you can't get comfortable to settle in? Well, don't settle in too deep because the Lord's coming back. And they're still there. They praise the Lord. She finally got the results from a sleep study she did a few months back and will be able to get treatment and submit a claim to the VA. And she asked for prayer for the little group that they have there in Fort Mitchell. They're all military or veterans, and there's a lot going on, and they need prayer. They're also reaching out to a new family. She and Lori are working together along with Kim. Reach out to people in that neighborhood. And a new wife, a new family has shown up and they're ministering to them. So I just bless you in the name of Yeshua to be filled with the Spirit, to have wisdom and knowledge in Him, and be able to minister to this woman and her family. Pray that we can get rid of debt. Yeah, I agree with that one. And she also is praying for coming into agreement with the prayer for my roof and for everyone in her prayer book. Nick and Dow. Happy birthday, Nick. It's his birthday, so I guess that's a praise report. Although there are probably some that would disagree, just messing with you, Nick. Happy birthday. His praise report is that his father's recovery is going incredibly smoothly, and he's about to have a second knee surgery on October 8th. Wow, that's pretty quick. And for safety during the surgery and the month-long recuperation and recovery. Folks, we need to pray. We need to pray for the other believers out there. They're being slaughtered in record numbers. We've not seen persecution like this in a very long time, but the Lord warned us that this would happen. The book of Acts suffered persecution, and we are too. So, Father, we come to you now in the name of Yeshua. We come to you in the name of your Son, in love and adoration. We boldly approach the throne of grace and mercy and saying, Abba, Father, Papa, God, we love you. And we are so thankful for you and how much you love us. We thank you, Lord, for heeding the Father's call to pay our debts for us and for the joy going to the cross, knowing that it would set us free and reconcile us to the Father. So we thank you for that. We praise you. We love you. We thank you for sending the Holy Spirit back in the upper room to help us and to walk with us and to cheer us on and to remind us of you. So, Holy Spirit, right now, as I feel your presence in this room and the presence of the Lord and my Heavenly Father, I say thank you. I do not take you for granted, and I pray that relationship with everyone who's listening. Bless this time. Clear our minds. Let us focus in on you. And help us, Lord. We need your help. And we want to shine. We want to burn. We want to be a light in the darkness, a lamp to lead the people home. to lead them to you. We ask all these things. We pray all these things. We believe all these things in Yeshua's name. Amen. As always, these lessons are proprietary information, except where noted that the information comes from outside sources. The combination of that information and the manner presented is exclusive and cannot be repeated or reused without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. So we've been talking about this detailed pattern or procedure called the protocol. And it's the protocol given to us on the day of Pentecost by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, very creatively, I called it the Pentecost Protocol. It took me a long time to come up with that. So, but we've been talking about first the gifts of the Spirit. Now we're into the fruit of the Spirit. And remember, the two must work together. You cannot have it out of balance. You cannot have only the gifts and no fruit. And you cannot have only fruit and no gifts. They must work together for us to be effective in the kingdom business that our Father entrusted to us. Galatians 5, starting verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law, and now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, those that practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such is no law. And to those who are Messiahs, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, last week I went into great detail about when this was written by Paul, why it was written by Paul, and why I believe it was written by Paul. Now, I do know that there is argument within the Messianic community that they don't believe that this was written by Paul, because it doesn't match his other writings, which is nonsense, because it matches very well with Romans and 1 Corinthians and so many other things. But here's my answer to that. First of all, I'm not going to get into an argument with somebody from the Messianic community that wants to justify their lack of spirituality, their lack of walk with the Lord, by saying Paul did not write this. I don't have time for that. Too many other important things going on out there. Too many other people need help than for me to waste my time arguing a point that has no merit. But let me just say this. Part of the reason the Messianic movement has never grown beyond what is constantly replenishing itself is because people either go back to the law or they leave it because they find no love, no freedom, no liberty, and no spirit in it. And the only way it's going to change is to accept the fact that God's grace is still amazing, and he's given us the ability through the Holy Spirit to walk in such a way that supersedes the law. So Paul described the life of faith as walking in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law, because the Spirit will keep you on the straight and narrow, and the choices that you make will be the right choices, because the Spirit's not going to lead you astray. In Romans, one of those corresponding scriptures I said were there, 14 verses 17 through 19, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Messiah in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. So if we're going to produce fruit, and that fruit is of the Spirit, you're going to be producing love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the reason it's, he says, against such there is no law, because if you're judging someone, you can't love them. If you're judging someone, they don't have joy, you probably don't have joy. I haven't seen too many happy Pharisees, just saying. And on, when the Spirit's in business and the Spirit's producing something, it's producing love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 6:8, Paul says, "For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." The seeds that you plant determine the crop that you're going to get. So if the seeds that you plant are of the flesh, meaning I'm going to be approved by God by the things that I do, by my actions, then that's the crop you're going to get. And the reason it reaps corruption, because when you stand before him, you cannot possibly measure up. But if you sow seeds of the Spirit, you reap everlasting life, because the only way you can sow those seeds is to be born again and have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The other thing is, your faith will be working through love, which is why he says in 5:6, "For in Messiah Yeshua, neither circumcision or uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." So it expresses the fact that love for one another, love for our neighbors, love for other believers, bearing their burdens, is the manifestation of the fullness of what the Father had for us. Galatians 5:14, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." So love, the love of the Lord, the love of God, the love of the Father in your heart. Galatians 6:2, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Messiah." My wife posted something on Facebook today and I grabbed it because it fits so well. And I know that there are some people out there that say, Facebook is out of the devil. Well, there are aspects of it. But guess what? The whole world is under the sway of the fallen one. And there are aspects of this world that are under his control. But there are other aspects that are not, like the room I'm sitting in and the life I lead and this ministry and on and on and on. So we just can't throw out the baby with the bathwater. There's a lot of spiritual good fruit being produced in social media, reaching out to people. Some of you have told me that if not for social media, you wouldn't have found me. You wouldn't have found the porch. God wouldn't have been able to move through you. And I would not have met you, the ones I've met. So be careful about being judgmental. This is what you posted. It was a meme. It says, "Dear God, work on my attitude. Teach me to be more loving, compassionate, patient, obedient, and humble. Strip away the anger, the bitterness, the stubbornness, laziness, pride, and complacency. Help me to become more like you and to practice what I preach. In Jesus' name, amen." And as I read that, I said, wow, that's tonight's message. Because the only way you can do that is to be born again. And the only way you can do that is to be filled with the Spirit. And the only way you can do that is through him. So what we're talking about is not natural to our fleshly makeup, to our fallen makeup. Which is why in Galatians 5:16 and 17, New Living Translation, Paul says, "Let the Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces constantly fighting each other, so that you're not free to carry out your good intentions. Hold on, let me get a drink here. And that last part wasn't in the scripture. I said that. Anyway. Now, There are some that say, well, this verse wasn't written about, excuse me, I don't know what's going on here, about the constant warfare between the flesh and the spirit. But I think it is. I think, yes, he's referring to the warfare going on in the church in Galatia. But I also believe that there's this constant war between our former sinful nature, our fleshly nature, our soul, and our spirit. The soulish man, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, is always in conflict with the spiritual man. And whoever you feed the most, whichever one is the strongest, whichever the one has gotten the most nourishment, is going to prevail. So there is a war between the spirit and the flesh, but the spirit should always be winning. I have a problem when people come to me who are born again and they're losing the battle. And it's so simple. The answer is so simple. And I guess it's too simple. But we have to understand something. We can't think like the world. This concept of love that I am embarking on is alien to this world. And I don't care. You can point out good services and good things that people do for one another, and they don't come close to something done in the true love of the Lord through the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, starting verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. Condemnation means a judicial act of judgment to those who are in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Messiah Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Paraphrase, no man could fulfill the law, so he had Yeshua do it for us. Verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Think Mary and Martha. I'm sure Martha was sincere in her action, but she was setting her mind on the things her flesh could do. And her sister Mary had her mind set on spiritual things, being at the feet of the Lord. Verse 6, for to be carnally or fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity, which means hatred against God. It is not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. I got a little taken off there because I had this immediate visual of the argument between the Pharisees and the Sadducees and Yeshua when he walked the earth. They could not understand him healing the lame man on the Sabbath. They could not understand him doing things that were against the law of Moses, when in actuality what he was doing was based on love and service and kindness and just what God the Father would want done and had done in times past. If you want to see the Father act outside the laws, think of Samson, who broke the Nazarite vow so many times, from the minute he walked through the vineyard to sleeping with the woman to the people he drank with, and it wasn't until he cut his hair that he got punished. God's grace was available to Samson. God's grace was available to David. David should have been stoned. He should have been put to death. He should have dropped dead right there by the Spirit of the Lord, and he did not, because he loved David. Joshua was told, don't go on the mountain. He went halfway up. He should have died, but he didn't. God's grace is prevalent throughout the entire Old Testament in ways that people with a fleshly carnal mind cannot understand. But the Spirit, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Messiah, he is not his. And if Messiah is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But here it goes, folks. If the Spirit of him who raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you, and that him is the Holy Spirit, if the Spirit of him sent by the Father to raise his Son, who raised Messiah from the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So this walk in the Spirit is an attitude of winning. It's not your head down, oh, woe is me. It's winning. Because the Spirit that's inside you raised him from the dead. And according to a born-again scientist who's a physicist, she believes that when the Lord was raised from the dead, how he was raised from the dead, it created a quantum signature throughout the universe so that all of creation knew what happened. But we have hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of Abba Father, the love of God, has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. It was Romans 5:5. So the command is what? A new commandment. A new commandment, the Lord says. That ought to make people with the religious spirit head spin. Oh, wait, he can't give a new commandment. Commandment's already written. Written in stone. What's he doing? A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And we're not talking in emotion. We're talking about a disciplined will to seek the welfare of others. And you can only do that through the Holy Spirit. Even the pagan fallen world, when they see the real love of the Lord in his believers, in his followers, they marvel. That's why constantly throughout the New Testament, there are things like 1 Thessalonians 3:12, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Four Loves, used the term agape love, which is what we're talking about, unconditional, unmerited, unconditional love, the kind of love that you can't earn, it's just yours. Used agape love to describe what he believed was the highest level of love known to humanity, a selfless love, a love that was passionately committed to the well-being of the other. As you watch the news, as you pay attention to the signs of the times, if you haven't noticed, it's about to get really bad out there. And the only way we're going to survive is to take care of and to love one another. Because the world is not going to help us. The fallen are not going to help us. Matter of fact, they're going to be too busy trying to destroy us. The only way we will endure is through the love of the Lord for one another. Now, how do you do this? Oh, believe me, I get it. I get it. Sometimes my old nature, my critical, judgmental nature, that nature that got me through being the product of a broken family and being bullied and being sickly, and the only way to overcome all that was to set standards for myself that almost killed me, achieving them, to bring myself out of that mindset and out of that sphere of influence. But now that I'm born again, I'm not bound by that programming. But there are moments it's tough to love people. There are moments I feel like Fred Flintstone, when instead of saying, I love you. I want to say, you know, doing what Fred Flintstone does when he loses his cool. And then the spirit that's inside of me either convicts me or corrects me. And it's that guidance that allows me to be a fruit bearer. See, if we know the Lord, then we must live out John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So the fruit of the Spirit, I break them up as I pray them. And maybe it's the cadence, maybe it's how I used to memorize lines when I was a working actor. But love, joy, and peace, I put those together. Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, I put them together. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control go together. I think those three sets are indicative of their nature and how they work. So we're going to start with love. And I hope I can get through the notes I have for love, because I've gone a little on here. Gone a little over. The love we're talking about in the Greek is agape love. It's a divine love. It's a strong, ardent, tender, compassionate devotion to the well-being of someone. See, the early church used the term agape to refer to the self-sacrificing love of God for humanity, i.e. sending Yeshua to the cross. And they were committed to reciprocating it and practicing it towards God and with each other. Now, to do that, there's something in the Greek and Christian theology called kenosis, K-E-N-O-S-I-S, and it means emptiness. What it is the self-emptying of one's own will and becoming extremely receptive to God's divine will. And there's nothing New Agey about it. All we have to do is for Philippians chapter 2. And look at, starting with verse 1. And the reason I'm going off a little bit on this is you cannot be filled with the love of the Lord unless you empty yourself of all of your preconceived notions about love, what you've been taught about love by your upbringing, by society, by your experiences. You need to empty out the sludge to be filled with the real. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Messiah, if any comfort of love, if in any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interest, his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Messiah Yeshua, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And the prophet Isaiah said he was of no appearance. He was comely. He didn't stand out in a crowd by his looks, but by his actions. Verse 8, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. This is the scripture taken out of context. He was exalted. because of the sacrifice, because of the cross. The cross wasn't a failure, regardless of what that worldwide religious leader said. There was no failure of the cross, sir, because the death of Yeshua on the cross not only saved us, but because of that, he's been highly exalted and given a name which is above every name. That at the name of Yeshua, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and those under the earth, the angels, humanity, those in the pit, and that every tongue that moves, every tongue that speaks, every sound that is made, would confess that Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's what love did. That's what that agape love did. That's what held him on the cross. He didn't have to let them scourge him. He didn't have to let them nail him. He didn't have to let any of those things happen. But he emptied himself of his own will. Remember in the garden he prayed, not my will, but yours be done. Our appreciation of this command to love comes from what we've seen him do. And also understand that the writings of John were based upon his displeasure with the Gnostics, those that are caught up in Gnosticism and knowledge. Their religion was in their mind, it wasn't in their heart, and they were not born again. And they were angry, argumentative, mean-spirited people who had an unlovely temper and conduct. They claimed enlightenment and communion with God, but did not manifest the fruit of the Spirit towards others. I hate to tell you. No, I don't hate to tell you. The truth is, many of our churches and denominations today are filled with Gnostics, not with people that are born again, not with people filled with the Spirit, but people that are caught up in their minds and the knowledge in their minds. And some of them, as I've said, look like they were baptized in pickle juice. They are mean-spirited, judgmental, critical people that wouldn't know the Lord if they saw him face to face. So this commandment that John gave was basics, red-letter basics, if you will, that if you believe in Yeshua, you must love one another. And that love must be shown. 1 John 3:18 and 19, New Living Translation, dear children, an affectionate term given to those that he pastored, mentored, shepherded. Let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. If you love him, show it. The Apostle John left no doubt about the relationship of love and belief in God. In obedience to the commandments of God and of the Lord were done through love, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and impossible for the flesh to do. And if someone hated their brother, according to 1 John 2:9, they lived in darkness. Whoever does not do right and love his brother is not of God. 1 John 4:20, and the amplified version of 1 John 4:21, and this command, this charge, this order, this injunction we have from him. So it's his command that he who loves God shall love his brother, the believer also. Because according to 1 John 4:8, God is love. God is agape. God is love. And I don't mean the hippy-dippy love of the 60s, and I mean divinely inspired love, love that cannot be done in the flesh. 1 John 4:7-8, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. And anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. See, the writings of Paul, according to the Holman Bible Dictionary, magnify the significance of love, the first fruit of the Spirit, as forcefully and fully in any writings. And you know what's amazing? Is that John's writings account for only one-tenth of the New Testament, but provide one-third of the references regarding love. And the love he's talking about is perfect love. Matthew 5:48, therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. I struggled with that scripture when I was a baby Christian. Okay, I'll try to be perfect, but I'm going to fail. So how's that going to happen? Because the perfect he was talking about was love. Because if we take Matthew 5:48, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, and we tie it to 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love cast out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So what fear and torment we're talking about? We're talking about the fear and torment of judgment, which is then mitigated by Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his love, his own love, toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Messiah died for us. So instead of judging us, instead of flooding the planet, instead of punishing us, he made a way for us where there was no way. He sent Yeshua and said, hey, I need you to do this. Do this. Do this for my children. I want them back. I want them home. I want to walk in the cool of the evening with my children like I did with Adam. And for the joy, he went to the cross for us. So the problem and the struggle is this. We have been taught by implication or outright direction that all of life is about performance. Do good, reward. It's performance-based inspiration. As parents, we discipline our children for bad behavior, reward them for good. But good parents teach your children how to do right for the right reasons, not just to please, not just to get the A, not just to get the gold star. Because students are graded on their performance. In the workplace, hard work, good decision could usually lead to a promotion. Bad decision, dead-end job, maybe you're fired. So the whole natural world is based on performance. And you know it because you do it too. If I just had more faith, if I could just overcome this weakness, if I could just stop doing this, if I could get past this hurt, if I could just stop sinning this sin, it's not based on you. You can't. If you could, you wouldn't have done it in the first place. You have to be born again, and the Spirit has got to rule your life. And for those of you that are stuck in bondage or stuck in a besetting sin or a pattern, and you are born again, then I would say then that you're either not Spirit-filled or you haven't given up control to the Spirit. Are there areas where bondage and demonic influence come about? Yes. But I can't deliver you from you. I can't deliver you from your choices. I can only deliver a demonic entity that is influencing those choices, but you still have to choose to do right. See, we love because he loves. And when we were unlovable, he loved us. Proverbs 8:17, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. So if that's under the law, if that was under a period of time where there was no grace, if he says to you, I love those who love me and I'm found by those who diligently seek me, now that you're under the law of grace, you're not under the law of sin and death, now that the cross is empty, the tomb is empty, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, what's the problem? I will tell you. You're not diligently seeking him because you're afraid. You're afraid he's going to reject you. You're afraid there's going to be some kind of earthly response from your heavenly Father. Well, let me tell you this, Romans 8:38-39. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the agape love of God, which is in Messiah Yeshua, our Lord. You've been made perfect in his love. You are perfected in his love. If you listen to John 15:9, the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide, take permanent residence in my love. He walked in the gifts of the Spirit. He walked in the fruit of the Spirit. Well, of course, he could and he would because of who he was. But then through the infilling of the upper, of the Holy Spirit in the upper room, he gave us the ability to do the same. If he's the vine and we're the branches and we produce fruit, that means the sap that produces the fruit and the fruit to grow flows from him through us. And what flows from him through us is the Holy Spirit. Matthew 5:43-48. You've heard that I was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even tax collectors do the same? If you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. So that perfection's in love. I know, folks, it's not easy to bless those who curse you and to love your enemies and do good. But when you do, you feel the presence of the Lord. And you see what it does. It heaps coals of condemnation on their heads. But we have got to, in this time, we are of the day, we're not of the night. We must be sober, we must be vigilant, we must be clear-minded, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. That was 1 Thessalonians 5:8. All of these aspects of love to our lives here and now, but it's also forever. You see, love is the greatest commandment that we should have. If you remember when one of the scribes came to the Lord and heard him, the Pharisees reasoning and the scribes reasoning, and he's sitting there, and of course he knows what they're thinking, and one of the scribes said, "What is the first commandment of all?" And this was not somebody looking for knowledge. This is somebody looking to trip him up. And Yeshua answered him and said, "All commandments is the Lord God. Is one Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment, and the second like it is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." There is so the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but He. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding, with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And then, now when Yeshua saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." He meant the kingdom of God is love. First of all, loving the Lord with every ounce of your being. And then loving others the same way. You can only serve in love. You can't serve in ritual. You can't serve in obligation. The only way you can truly serve is in love. It's the highest form. This love is the highest form of love. It's not brotherly love, which is phileo. It's not sexual. It's not eros. It's agape. It's divine. It's unconditional. Matter of fact, the concept of love in a sexual nature is not in the Bible, in the New Testament, at all. The only love is the affection of brotherhood or the affection, divine affection. There's no sexual aspects of this love, regardless of what some would like to do and to infer and to manipulate. It's the covenant love of God for his creation, for God so what loved the world that he sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, that not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation, the payment, the remission for our sins. See, the son came to save, not to condemn. Men condemn themselves by their own choices, and they embraced the darkness instead of the light. And the condemnation is that the light came into the world and men loved darkness rather than light. See where their love is? It's darkness, because their deeds were evil. Someone practicing evil hates the light, doesn't come to the light, lest it should be exposed. But the truth, those who live the truth, practice the truth, they come to the light, that their actions may be clearly seen, and that it's been done in God. You see, that fear and torment we talked about before, it's found in darkness. Fear and torment is not found in light. And his perfect unconditional love perfects us and sets us free from the darkness. There's no other way to do it. There's no other way to do it. There's no other way to live this life unless we live it in love. Yes, there will be times he'll chastise us because he loves us, and he rebukes and chastises. So be zealous and repent. That's Revelation 3:19. But that chastisement, that correction is done in love so that you can have the walk. You can have the joy, which is the next fruit of the Spirit. But I will warn you, you can't do this because loving him is exclusive. There is no adultery in this relationship. No one can serve two masters. You'll either hate one and love the other, or be loyal to one and despise the other. You can't serve God and serve the world. You can't have a foot in one world and foot in the other and say, hey, I'm good. No, you're not. And let me just add this, and we're all guilty of it, but you can't say, I love God and I love the Lord and I have the fruit of the Spirit in me, when you can't love the people around you, your wife, your kids, the people that you work with, your family members. If you can't love them, if you're too busy judging them, or you're basing your natural affection upon their actions, then we have a problem. But when you're walking in him, when you're walking in this love, there's no torment, there's no fear, there's only joy. And how do you have that joy? Let's go back to Zephaniah 3:17 as I close out before prayer. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Father, I come to you now on behalf of your children, your sons, your daughters. I come to you now even behalf on for me. Lord, we want to love the way you loved. We want to be the way you were. We want to walk into a situation of torment. Even the Gadarene man who was demonically possessed, somewhere deep inside of him, he recognized you as love and freedom and cried out to you. The demons could not stop him from being delivered. So, Father, right now upon us, quiet us in your love and sing over us. Fill us with gladness and joy. Set us free of the bonds and the chains and the things that have been done to us from the womb to now. In the name of Yeshua, be made perfect in his love. Let his love hit your heart, your mind, your soul, your spirit. Let the chains clank to the ground and the prison doors fly open. And anything that's in you that is not of him, you came in one way, flee seven, do so quietly and be gone. In Yeshua's name, let the love of the Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit fill you and begin to manifest the fruit of the Spirit right here, right now. Lord, the darkness is coming, but we're going to shine. We're going to burn. We're going to show love in our eyes, in our words, in our actions, in everything we do. We're going to be you to a lost and dying world. And we're going to start at home. We're going to start with family. And we're going to start with friends. We're going to start with our co-workers and the people that we fellowship with. Oh, yeah, we're even going to take it to that place that thinks it's the church, but it's not. We're the church. It's a building. And we're going to show those people love. That person that comes in that may not smell so well, we're going to show them love. To the homosexual, we're going to show them love. To the adulterer, we're going to show them love. We're not going to judge them. We're going to leave that up to you. We're going to love them. To the person in bondage, we're going to see beyond the bondage and find the person in there like the Gadarene man and speak to them and set them free. And it's going to be a word of love. Touch us right now, Lord. You are the vine. We are the branches. Flow through us and let us bear fruit. And if you're backslidden, if you have lost your way, if you've wandered away right now, find your way home like the prodigal child. Run home, run home, run home. Find your way to him and he will greet you and you will be accepted. Be washed clean by the blood and be healed by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're not born again and you happen to catch this or somebody played it for you, Jesus of Nazareth, Yeshua HaMashiach, your Lord and Savior, accept what he did for you on the cross. Believe that he's been raised from the dead and sits at the right hand of the Father, and that he is coming back for us and for you. Make him Lord of your life. Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart, and you shall be born again. If you believe everything I just said and you touch and agree with me, just say amen. We're going to continue on with the fruit of the Spirit. Continue to pray, folks. Don't just listen to this. Maybe it takes listening to it more than once. This over 5 years worth of teaching there for you. Freely has been given to me, and freely I have given. I will not sell out. I will not compromise. I will not merchandise the word. It's there for you to use. Take advantage of it. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch here on Firefall Talk Radio.